You know, at our house, when Jackie gets a new phone or Jackie gets a new iPad, the hand-me-downs come to me. You know, instead of the other way around. But, so she gave me her old iPad, and I learned that you can dictate into the notes and not have to type. So, yeah, I mean, man, I thought, wow, I can do this. You know, I just had to go back and do a few little corrections, but it sure beat typing. Okay. Is your foundation cracked? About 4 years ago, maybe even longer, actually it's probably longer than that, I decided that I was going to start reading the Bible through in a year and actually finish it. I had started it many times, but had never actually finished it. You know, college, kids, all kind of got in the way there. But in the last 4 years, I have completed reading the Bible through in 4 times, you know. And there's always a group of little old ladies in the Baptist church that'll tell you, I've read the Bible 20 times. You know, well, I know my 4 times doesn't equal their 20 or even come close to it. But I have finished it 4 times. Now, this year, when I finished it, I thought, I'm going to do something a little different. So I've got one of my books here. I don't have the other one. I couldn't find it. But it's called A Complete Guide to the Bible. And it breaks down every book of the Bible. So I read out of this book and another book that Ricky bought me. And it kind of gives you the chance to, it pulls things out that I haven't caught before. But it also gives me the chance to do what, use one of Brandon's famous lines, is chew on it for a while. You know, Jackie's dog loves to chew on the word. Literally loves to chew on the word. I don't know if she gets any of it, but she loves to chew on that word. So, you know, after I've read each chapter out of each one of these books on Genesis, then I went back and I started reading my Bible and going to the points that it pointed out. Well, so I'm going to touch on a few things in Genesis about sin, and then I will, I mean, just a few little stories. We all know the books of Genesis, you know. We know that on day one, God created the day and the night. On day two, he created the sky, the firmament. On day three, God created land and the sea, seas and plants and trees, the sea animals and plants and trees. On day four, he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. And on day six, he created the animals that lived on the land and the humans in the image of himself. And then on day seven, it says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which God created and made. You know, in some of these books that I've been reading, it says there's people that think that a day in biblical times had to be more than 24 hours. God couldn't create every plant and every tree in 24 hours. I said, well, you know what? My God says that there is nothing impossible for him. So, you know, God created it. It says it. I believe it. He did it in 24 hours. You know, in Genesis 2:2-7 and 8, and then 2:21, it talks about God creating Adam and Eve. And God created Adam first, and then he created Eve to be his helpmate. Some husbands say that the wife's really not the helpmate sometimes, you know, when they got their ear and they're not wanting to listen.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
The men are
staying quiet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know. And God made, he made this beautiful, beautiful garden. And from that, there was no sin. Everything was beautiful. Adam, Eve, it was all great. And then come a snake. The snake came in, the serpent. He came in and he cracked God's foundation wide open. One of Ricky's famous, or one of his sayings that he used to say before he started preaching, he said, if I don't get my life right, I'm going to bust hell wide open. That's what the snake did. He busted God's perfect foundation. So, he talked Adam and Eve, or he talked Eve into talking Adam into eating from the tree of good and knowledge, and that's where sin came in. It was right there. It all went downhill. You know, then comes the story of Cain and Abel. You know, Cain killed Abel. And then in Genesis 6 and 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great on earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. They were just horrible people. They were evil. Can you imagine how big of a mess that the world had to be in that God regretted making human beings? Yeah. 10 generations of sin was all it took to make God disgusted and regret that he made humans. God decided he was going to destroy the world and start all over with the only righteous family he could find. The only righteous family. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his three daughter-in-laws. You know, and God gave Noah the instructions on how to build the ark. You know, he gave them the instructions on how to build the Ark of the Covenant, how to build the temple, everything, how long it should be, what it should be made of. Everything. God gave those instructions. Well, y'all know I'm a crafter, so let me show you a set of instructions. They now have them so you can download them online, but you have to piece everything together. You know, and one of the first instructions here for this pattern, it tells me to take apart a pallet. Well, you know what? I'm too lazy. I'm going to go buy fence pickets, or I'm going to buy 1x4s. I'm going to make it like I want. I'm not going to follow the instructions. Can you imagine if God had came to me and told me how to build the ark? It'd be, nope, we ain't doing it that way. We ain't doing it that way. We doing it my way. Let me tell you. Many, many years ago, when I was like 8 or 9 years old, my grandmother, she lived out in California. And she was really one tough lady. Now, come on, somebody say, how tough was she? Let me tell you how tough she was. Her and her brother owned a dry cleaners. And my grandmother did all the alterations. Well, every summer, she would get ready to come visit us in Lubbock. So she would go the day before to the bank and take out all the money she had saved for her summer spending. And then she'd go to work at the dry cleaners. And then she would, her brother would take her to the airport. Well, one day, well, let me tell you, the building that the dry cleaners was in was owned by not so nice of a man. His name, and I know you're going to know the name, was Ike Turner. He wasn't a nice man. Well, he robbed them one day. It happened to be the day that she had just went to the bank the day before. My grandmother, she walked with a one leg. I don't remember how it happened, but one leg was shorter than the other. So she walked with a little bit of a limp. Well, Ike Turner came into the dry cleaners. One of the men that was with him put a gun to my uncle's great-uncle's head, and the other one put a gun to my grandmother's head and told her to get up and go to the back room. She said, "I'll do it when I'm good and ready." She took her sewing that was in her lap, dropped it on top of her sewing box. Guess what was in that sewing box? $2,000. Back in 1968, $2,000. He wasn't getting her money. He was not getting her money. So she picked up her sewing box, walked as slow as she could to the room. They robbed him and they left. They didn't get her $2,000. Because, one thing, she did not follow instructions. You know, that's, I don't know where I get it from. But when she would come and visit us, my grandma, she sewed all the time. And so she we were sitting there watching As the World Turns, and she's opening up a Simplicity pattern. She opened it up, laid the pattern out on the table, threw the instructions away. And I said, "Grandma, why are you doing that? The instructions are never right." Well, you know what? I got this book right here that says Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And it's right. God wants us to follow His instructions.
Amen.
You know, Noah followed all the instructions that God gave him, to the type of wood, the length, the width, the height, the windows, everything. God, Noah followed all the instructions. You know, again, I would say that would be difficult for me, because if I were on the ark, those doors wouldn't have closed until I had two unicorns on the ark. You know, that just wasn't happening. But so they're on the ark. It's flooded. You know, after the flood, there was no people left on earth, just the eight of them. And sin had been removed from the earth, or had it? You know, Noah messed up once or twice. You know, every little sin can come in. But it's whether we let that sin get bigger and bigger. You preach Sunday about your garden, letting weeds come in your garden. You know, we have to build our foundation. When you build a garden, we always put black plastic down and then cut a little hole and for the plants to come up. You know, the foundation of the garden was the dirt and then the plastic. Houses have foundations, pier and beam or concrete. But it all depends on what you let through your foundation. God told Noah, after being in the flood the 40 days and on the ark for 5 months, God told Noah that he would never destroy the earth again with floodwaters. Never again with a flood. But he didn't say, "I will never destroy the earth again. I will only not do it with a flood." And it really didn't take long for sin to creep back in. You know, God was upset again with the amount of sins that people were doing. Sodom and Gomorrah is an excellent example. We all know the story of God and Lot bargaining with each other to see how many people, righteous people, they could find. And then when Lot was leaving, God told him and his wife and his daughters, do not look back. Give them that one instruction. Do not look back. See, again, if I'd have been Lot's wife, I wouldn't have been able to resist looking back. And what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt.
That's right.
Your foundation can't be cracked or shouldn't be cracked. But if it is cracked, it can be repaired. You know, Brandon, I spoke with you a couple months ago back here. I'll be honest. My daughter was riding my neck. I had let a little bit of sin work in. I was hitting lottery tickets really good. I was winning them good. But then, I wasn't winning so much anymore. And that little devil would tell me every morning, buy one, it's a winner. I promise it's a winner. Now, a pretty hefty chunk of change was going to the Texas Lottery, and I know it wasn't going to the school systems. So, you know, I let my foundation get cracked. I talked to Brandon about it one Sunday morning, and to me, I mean, Jackie was on me all the time about it. You're a kid, you don't know. I can handle this. Well, once I told somebody else, it was like I had to hold myself accountable. I had to hold myself accountable. What day was it, Abby? We were in Quick Trip, and the guy goes, oh, here's a 50. You want to buy it? Buy it, buy it. And I'm going, no, no, no. We went out, and we got in the car, and Abby goes, I'm proud of you. You didn't buy that ticket. You know? No, I'm trying to rebuild my foundation, to repair that crack. A foundation based on God's procedures, no, a foundation based on God produces steadfast faith, life, and allows us to be living examples to others. To dig into your spiritual foundation deep and develop a deep faith, building a sure spiritual foundation means investing, inspecting, and ensuring that the foundation is maintained, and God has given us the instructions to do it. They're right here. You know, we've got so many kids these days that are, you know, I don't know how to put it. Some of them are just wild. You know, there's a loss somewhere. Number one, the parents aren't in church. The parents, you've got to set the example. If you want your children to be good adults, then you need to set the example for them. My mother and father, every Sunday morning, they drug us to Mass. I mean, it was, well, of course, you know, it was different than church. But all 10 of us had to be in the van. We were going to Mass. And we went. So how do we build our spiritual foundation? By growing awareness to the many layers of life. We learn how to continually nurture our spiritual lives. This helps us to build a strong spiritual foundation. The basic instructions before leaving earth tell us to build a strong foundation. In Luke 6:48, a parallel account of Jesus teaching this parable. Not only will our houses not be destroyed, they will not even be shaken. Amen. Now that it is on a firm foundation. And when the flood arose and the spring broke against the house, it could not shake because it was well built. Yes. We don't want one of those houses, one of those foundations that the three piggies built. You know, we don't want the wind to come up and blow it away. We don't want the water to come and take it away. Our foundation has to be strong. So how do we build a strong foundation? Well, I've got 8 steps for that. First of all, establish a morning ritual. When you're drinking your morning coffee, share your coffee time with God, reading your Bible, during that time talking to God. Begin setting and using weekly and daily goals to spend more time with God. And this one's going to step on some people's toes, especially mine. But to take care of ourselves, to have a strong foundation, we have to live a healthier life. We have to take better care of ourselves and better care of what we're putting into our bodies. You know, it's like we've got to have a clear mind to be able to spend more time with God, to be able to listen for when He's telling us what to do. We've got to have a clear mind. And here's another one that's going to step on toes. We need to exercise daily, walk daily with God. You know, there's an old country song from many years ago about walking the walk and talking the talk. If as Christians we're going to talk the talk, we need to walk the walk. Write our goals down on paper. Write your prayers down on paper. I'm not saying write the whole prayer down word for word, but write down who all you're praying for. What all you're praying for. Make a list of who and what you're praying for, what goals you want to achieve with your prayers. You know, I know there's times that God gets tired of hearing my same prayer over and over. But if I remember, write it down, put it at His feet. If it's to be, it's to be, and it's His will. Don't keep asking, same thing over and over and over, like your child. Mama, can we do this? Can we do this? Can we do this? No, no, no. Just give it to God. Give it to God. Let Him keep it. Maintain a journal to keep your ideas in, all your prayers. Sometimes when I'm praying and I pray for the same thing over and over, I wonder when God's going to say, when is she going to get it through that thick head? That I will do it in my time. You know, it's like when someone sins over and over and over. I can tell you, when I was young, it was legal to drink in the state of Texas when I was 18. I moved to Georgia right after I turned 18. But it wasn't legal to drink in Georgia. Had to be 21. But I found a little unknown law that the liquor stores had to match your home state laws. So I never changed my driver's license to Georgia until I turned 21. I kept my driver's license for Texas. I cannot tell you how many nights coming home after work or after we had been out partying, saying, "Dear Lord, just please let me get home and not end up in jail. Let me get home and not wreck the car. If you do that, I'll start going to church more." You know, God always kept his end of the bargain, because I never wrecked. I never went to jail. But I didn't keep my end of the bargain. I wasn't ready to. You have to be ready. Your foundation has to be ready. Take one day off a week. You work hard the other six. And Lord, let me tell you, I have worked hard this week. I've actually had to work 2 days, 8 hours a day. That was rough. But you've got to... You've got to take your time to relax and enjoy the time with God. You know, on Sunday night, in your little journal, write your testimony for the week. You know, write it down so you can keep it or remember it. This all comes kind of in perfect timing because of over the last couple of weeks, I've blessed several women in the church with these Christian planners. They give you a place to write your prayers down, write your devotional, write whatever you need. And believe it or not, that was just coincidence that they came in time, you know, before this.
Perfect.
Yeah. But that's to help us keep our mind straight and our foundation strong. Jesus is a sure foundation because he was by far ordained by our Heavenly Father to be our Redeemer. There's none other name given under the heaven to save it, to be that Jesus Christ, whereby man can be saved. I can't save you. Linda, you can't save Brenda. Brenda, you can't save Linda. It all goes with our belief in Jesus Christ and our foundation. No building can stand without a foundation. The foundation of the building, of course, we know it's the lowest part of the building. It's usually at ground level or below ground level. And when you look at a fully completed building, on some of them, you don't see the foundation. The foundation is prepared ground or base that the weight of the building is placed on. The foundation has to be very strong to be able to support and carry that building. Our foundation has to be strong to support and carry us. You know, there's all different kinds of foundation. There's pier and beam. There's the black plastic. There's concrete. My house, part of the pier, or in a lot of houses in Alvarado here, all these older houses, if you got up underneath them, you'll see that it's tree stumps that have been cut off. And they started building the house on top of that. If you crawled under my house, you'll see an old milk crate supporting one of the beams. It's been there since 1965. I figure it's going to keep going. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But in this part of town, you will find a lot of tree stumps being the foundation to the house. You utilize what's there. Utilize what we're given. Matthew 7:24-27. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice, like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down the stream and rose. The wind blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Because everyone who hears my words does not put them into practice is a foolish man, who built his house on the sand. And when the rain came down, the stream rose and it blew and beat against the house until it fell and crashed. We don't want our foundation to fall and crash. You know, when I'm out driving Uber through downtown Dallas, through downtown Fort Worth, you see all the homeless people. You know, I pray for them. But it makes me wonder, what happened so bad that caused their foundation to crack and crumble? In 1 Peter 2 and 5, it says, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." There's also so many kinds of foundations you can build your life on. You know, you hear these young girls today, "I'm going to marry him because he's cute. He's good looking. I'm going to marry him because he drives a nice car." You know what? If that's what you're basing your love on, is somebody's looks or somebody's belongings, it ain't happening. It's not going to work. You cannot build your foundation just on one thing. You have to base it on everything. You have, when that sin starts coming in and cracking that foundation, you have to patch it. You know, you can use that that tape that holds everything, or that glue that'll put a boat back together and let it float across the water. I forget what that stuff's called. Do what?
Gorilla tape.
Yeah, gorilla tape will work good. Ephesians 2 and 19 through 22. "Constantly you are no longer foreigners in a strange land, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation that the apostles and the prophet, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, in him the whole building is to join together and rise to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, to you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives in his spirit." You know, we can't live in the natural. It's hard sometimes to get the natural thoughts out of your brain. I mean, it's really hard. You've got to live like the apostles did. We have to be the apostles today for tomorrow's generation. We have to let our faith guide us. We have to know that God, Jesus Christ, died on that cross to save our soul. He knew, God knew us before we were born. He knew how many hairs we were going to have, or in Marshall's case, how many hairs he wasn't going to have. Hey, he picked on me Sunday, so. You know, he knew us. He knew when we're going to come to him. He keeps waiting. And he's waiting for us all to come to him. To build our foundation in him. And the that right there is the base of the foundation. You have to have a foundation in God to be your foundation, but Jesus Christ has to be your chief cornerstone. Yeah. You know, you go over to like some of the old courthouses, and right there on that corner, there's a stone in it. That's your cornerstone. That has to be Jesus Christ. God is your foundation. These are your instructions. Jesus Christ is my cornerstone. You're going to have storms in your life. You're going to have doors closed. You're going to have setbacks. But as long as you have a strong foundation in God and you have Jesus Christ as your cornerstone, you will withstand. You know, there was, I don't know if y'all heard about the tragic event today, started over on Las Vegas Trail. A man carjacked a car, stabbed a gentleman, and then took off. I heard all the sirens as they came up Crowley Road. They went from there to Mansfield to Arlington and then back to South Fort Worth. And I heard about just tons of sirens passing. So I looked out my office window, and I counted. I mean, I don't know how many had already passed by, but I counted 34 Fort Worth police cars. Wow. The gentleman, after he left there, he hijacked another car, and he ran over at least one person. Hit and run. But it makes me, I'm not going to say it makes me wonder, but it kind of does. If that person was saved when they were a teenager, and they slipped, they've let their foundation crack. Now, he they had to smash his car between two SWAT units to get him to stop, and it was just horrible. They had to do gassing to get him to stop and surrender. But now, do you think he's sitting in that cell telling God how sorry he is? I hope so. You know, Ricky used to say, it says in John, my Father has a mansion and has many rooms, many rooms. Ricky used to say, one of his sayings was, you pick your sins. Yeah, I might not have been a real good person when I first started out, my teenage years, my early 20s. I didn't start really realizing what I needed to do with life until he was 36. That's when he got told what he was going to do with his life by me. But he says, you know, heaven to him has layers. You know, yeah, God and Jesus and Moses and Noah, they're all up there. But you know, he said, if I just get in on that bottom layer, I'm happy. Just let me in the bottom layer. I don't have to be right there. Just let me in the bottom layer. His foundation was cracked. I mean, when we married, he was a heavy smoker, an alcoholic. 1 year. Tell him you got 1 year. Well, we weren't married yet, but tell him you had 1 year. I won't marry you. I will not marry somebody that drinks. I will not marry somebody that if you're going to raise my kids, I don't want them growing up. The only thing they remember is you drinking. He quit drinking. He started repairing his foundation. He was called to be in the ministry at a very young age, in the Army. He turned it down. He said, no. Because if I do this, if I join the ministry, I can't leave Lawton, Oklahoma every Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock, be on the Alvarado Square by 9 o'clock drinking beer with my friends. No, not doing it. Then later in life, God called him again, and he thought it was too late. But he had repaired his foundation. Hallelujah. He had fixed it. You know, like I said, we're going to have setbacks. We're going to what do they call it? The backslide. You know, everybody, you know, everybody messes up. We're not perfect. We are not perfect. I may think I am, but I'm not perfect. But I'm getting my foundation in order. I'm repairing my foundation.
Work in progress.
Work in progress, that's right. Work in progress. And I'm doing better at following instructions. It's really hard. Especially, you know, I keep trying to convince my daughter that I'm the parent and she's the daughter. No. Until I can learn to follow instructions, she thinks she's the parent. Thank y'all for listening.